If you're enjoying this podcast, please consider leaving a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It really helps me out a lot. Cheers.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Jed Hearn, host of the Novel Analyst podcast, and I have some exciting news to share with you. I have not been posting very regularly to the Novel Analyst podcast feed in recent weeks, and that is because a lot of my attention has been focused on a new podcast that I've started up. It's called Wizards, Warriors, and Words, a fantasy writing advice podcast. And on that show, I co-host it along with Rob J. Hayes, Dirk Ashton, and Michael R. Fletcher. If you haven't heard those names before, they are all extremely big indie authors in the fantasy community. Between us, we've published, I think, around about 25 books or something like that. And it is really, really educational to be able to share this episode's and sorry, to share this new show with them, rather. And every episode, essentially what we do is we take one writing advice topic like world building or character flaws, or even something like editing or writing blurbs for your book, and we discuss it in a kind of roundtable format for about 20 to 25 minutes. So if you have enjoyed in particular the interview shows of the Novel Analyst podcast, I think you'll really get a kick out of Wizards, Warriors, and Words. The first three episodes are available right now for free. I've included the link to that in the show notes for this episode, so you can check that out. And also for this episode, after I finish talking, you're going to hear a preview of the Wizards, Warriors, and Words podcast. Specifically, I'll be sharing the first episode from this, where we talked about... What did we talk about? Let me get up the episode list. I really should have planned this out a bit better beforehand. But our first episode for that was our top tips for writing characters. So each of our hosts shares kind of our best tips for writing characters and some stuff we have learned with that over the years. The other two episodes, which are immediately available right now, are First Chapters and World Building. And all of this is sort of done with a fantasy and a little bit of sci-fi, but mainly fantasy focus. So if you're a fantasy author wanting to improve your craft and learn from some really good writers, I have certainly learned a lot from recording these episodes with Rob J. Hayes, Dirk Ashton, and Michael R. Fletcher, and I think you will as well. The other quick announcement I want to make before I get into sharing the first episode of Wizards, Warriors, and Words is that if you want to stay updated with my writing, the best way to do that is to join my email newsletter. I'm not going to spam you on the newsletter. I just send out a kind of fortnightly update every 2 weeks, as you would imagine from the word fortnightly. And I often share free stories, sneak previews of what I'm working on, early cover reveals, even some giveaways there as well. And when you sign up to that email newsletter of mine, you will also get a free short story as well. So you can sign up to that by going to jedhearn.com/lies, and that will allow you to sign up for my newsletter and also get The Language of Lies, which is a free short story prequel to Across the Broken Stars. So that's jedhearn.com/lies. The link to that is also in the show notes. So without further ado, here is the very first episode of Wizards, Warriors, and Words, a fantasy writing advice podcast. Remember, this is immediately available right now. First three episodes are out for free. So after you've listened, if you enjoyed this first episode, go ahead and subscribe to that. It's on all the usual places. Wherever you're listening to this right now, you should be able to see it there. And it's also on my YouTube channel in video version as well. Enjoy! Welcome to Wizards, Warriors, and Words, a fantasy writing advice podcast.
Hi, I'm Dirk Ashton, author of the Paternus Trilogy.
Hi, I'm Michael R. Fletcher. I have recently stolen all the middle initial R's from all those other authors. He is now just George Martin, if you're curious, or J. Tolkien. I'm the author of Beyond Redemption and Completely Sane. Passing it on to you, Rob.
I'm Rob Hayes. I'm author of many books. I don't know, like 13 of them or something at this point. Who cares? The latest trilogy is, we'll go with The War Eternal, because, you know, most recent one.
And
oh, yeah, not one. That one, yeah.
And I'm Jed Hearn, author of Across Broken Stars, and today's episode is Compelling Characters. So this is our first episode of Wizards, Warriors, and Words, which I'm just going to shorten to Triple W from now on. And I thought we could kick things off by discussing our number one tip for writing compelling characters. So, Mike, do you want to start us off with this discussion?
I've put a lot of thought into this, and I have no idea. So I don't really plan characters very much. I start with a really vague idea, usually based around a flaw. And then I write the book and I kind of learn who that character is as I write. By the end of the book, I have this really, really solid idea of who each character is. And then because I am a glutton for punishment, I go back to the beginning of the book and I go through the whole fucking thing again, rewriting and adding stuff until that character is that character through the entire book. So it seems like I planned it all, and oh my God, it's like he really knew who that character was, but I totally didn't. It's actually true of plot as well.
So you're more of a kind of organic writer who just discovers things as they go along, and then you have to kind of go back to make it look like that was what you were originally intending the whole time.
Yeah, I wish I was smart enough to plan things, because it would probably save a fucking ton of time.
Dirk, do you want to talk about your number one tip?
You know, my ideas always start with just like a, well, what if, like with Paternus, what if the mythologies of the world were real, characters were real, and they were all connected in some way to one like little myth theme that then spread across the world and changed. And it was really from, you know, from that idea that I started thinking, well, who would need to be the characters to best be able to tell this story through their points of view? And I really wanted to have two like regular kind of normal people be caught up in this situation, because then we could see their reactions to finding out these things. So I try to sketch out, I actually do a lot, unlike Mike, I do a lot of work on character. I sketch out characters, you know, a little bit about their backgrounds. I mean, I don't spend an outrageous amount of time. I don't write these huge bios, but I try to just get at least a decent idea of their basic character traits, what they're like, what they do, how they grew up, that kind of stuff. And then, but it's really through the writing of the first draft that at first they feel a little wooden and unreal. And then at one point when I'm writing, suddenly they take on a life of their own. And then I realize that I have that character down. And then from then on, what they say, what they do, how they react, what actions they take are all easy to come up with because they're predicated on what kind of people they are. So that makes it a lot easier once you get going. And then you can, well, then like Mike does, then I can go back and tweak some things in the earlier stuff so that it's a consistent type of character. Because, you know, there's nothing consistency. Now, a character can surprise you in what they do, but I mean, I've read books where I'm like, those characters or that character would not do that, right? It doesn't feel right that they would have made that decision and done that. Have you guys ever read a book like that where that happens?
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. It's nice when suddenly a character you might not know very well will suddenly surprise you and you realize that they have this other side. But that's different from just an inconsistency. So I don't know if that's very helpful advice at all, but that's kind of how it works out for me.
I think consistency is one of the most sort of universal advices towards writing in general, actually. It's just like, you know, especially when you're writing fantasy, anything can happen. Any character can be anything. They can do essentially anything. But I often find the key is, making sure it is consistent within the world and within the character. And if they do act out of character, inconsistency, there has to be a reason for it, basically.
Right. Yeah, you got to obey. You can make up any rules you want, but you have to obey the rules you make up.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, anyway.
And also, I think partly it's because you're asking readers to make a lot of suspensions of belief in your world and your plot and a lot of areas of your story that you need to sort of ground that back with a layer of realism in how people behave to those situations as well, I think.
Yeah, that's the joy of writing, especially the Manifest Delusions books where everyone is completely insane, is figuring out how everyone's going to act within the framework of their madness and then locking that in like really tight. And so like they will do stuff that will not make sense to the reader, but to, you know, somebody suffering these delusions and, you know, given whatever information they have, like there kind of is no other choice. I think that's one of my favorite parts of, seeing like reviews of like Beyond Redemption when people sort of get it. It's like, I'm continually surprised by what happens, but each time it's not gratuitous. It's kind of like, it makes sense that this is what they decided to do, you know, given what's going on around them, and their, you know, their own personal delusions. But I do enjoy being freed from these sort of constraints of sanity.
I was actually having a very similar conversation just this morning with some other authors. Not you guys, there are actually other authors, but we're the most important ones, obviously. It's the idea that you sometimes see people sort of say, oh, this character made stupid decisions in a book, idiotic decisions or whatever, which led to things that didn't need to happen. And I think the problem when you start thinking like that is like, well, characters can make stupid decisions because people make stupid decisions. It happens. And it's going to lead to further plot advances because, that's part of writing a book, that's part of a story. But as long as the characters are acting, consistently, they can act stupidly, they can do stupid things, make stupid decisions, and that's absolutely fine.
We're about halfway through this episode, so Dirk, you have our featured book of the week. Could you tell us a little bit about it, please?
My book? I don't have any copies. Rob has a copy. I actually don't have any copies. This is my book that just released last week, War of Gods. It's the final book in the Paternus trilogy. And it's really thick. This is the first book and book two. And these have been called Epic Urban Fantasy. Takes place in this world, but much more of a kind of epic fantasy narrative. Style and story than your typical urban fantasy. So that's those.
And so pretty. So pretty. So very, very pretty.
For those of you who are listening to the audio only of this, we should have this up on YouTube as well, and you can see the glory of the Paterna series in full visuals. They are very thick books, and they have amazing covers as well, so highly recommended. Rob, would you like to continue with your number one tip for writing good characters?
I work in a very similar way to Michael, Mike Fletcher, because we are in fact the same person. We're all part of
it. It's like looking in the mirror four times here. Pretty sure none of you are real.
These two are actually computer generated avatars of me. So it's really hard for me to be speaking for all three of them. So I hope I'm doing it consistently with these.
You do a very good job of throwing your voice.
The accent's a little bit different, so you might need to work on smoothing that out, I think.
Not really sure about my character development. I think you kind of slacked there.
You didn't start with a flaw you needed to.
I know. I'm perfect and amazing, and yeah. It's not really believable.
Well, you're the hero.
Sorry, Rob. Continue.
You're going so well, and then it's just sidetracked. But anyway, keep going.
yeah, it's fine. Where was I? I don't know. So I work. Very similar to Mike. I quite often start with sort of a trope and say, right, this character is going to be the honourable one, or this character is going to be the arsehole of the group, or whatever. And build around that. So as the story goes on, I add more details, flesh them out more, change them here and there. And I mean, it's rare that I actually have a grasp of the character until sort of halfway through the book. And this goes for most characters. Again, once I've actually got a grasp of the character, I can go back in editing and add bits, change bits, and sort of flesh them out, but more consistently. So I think, I guess my one tip would be, your characters can be sort of forged in the editing process rather than the writing process. You can always go back and turn them into sort of like, fully fleshed out, realistic characters afterwards, once you know who they are.
I'm just you go if you want.
I was going to say that I think that's like a common mistake for new writers, is thinking that, when they've written a book, they've written a book. And it's like, no, that's, you've only just started. Mm. Like, unless you're, Mark Lawrence, get ready for like a couple of months of like fixing your characters, tweaking your plot, going back and making all that shit make sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's like Stephen King says too, it's a mistake to think that you have to begin your book knowing exactly what your characters are, right? And you can outline all you want, but realize that you'll want to change it, and it's okay to change the outline and change the plot. It's okay to go back and fix things. You don't have to be set. People think, okay, I have to have a theme in mind. I have to have this. But Stephen King, a lot of his advice is, a little iffy. Don't use adverb. Well, I use all the adverbs. But one thing he says is that he never thinks of theme until after the book is done, right? And then he'll go, oh, this book is about this. And then a sub theme might be this. And then he goes back and tweaks through and makes that theme more consistent as he goes. So you don't have to know all these things up front. Just sit down and start writing, get some ideas, get some notes down, and that helps a lot. The only other thing I was gonna bring up too is that it's the same with voice, because each character speaks a different way. And it was an incredible challenge for me with these books, because I have, a 17-year-old character, a 22-year-old character who are human. And then I have characters who are literally millions of years old and from cultures all around the world. So they all speak a different way and use a different vocabulary. And it's only once you get, sometimes like Rob said, halfway through, that you really get the feel for what words they would use and not use and how they would say things. And which characters curse and what words do they use and which ones don't. And then you can go back and fix that, because that's a large part of character development, is how they talk.
It's interesting that we're all sort of like hitting on the same idea here, that regardless of whether you are a outliner, like Dirk, you seem to be more in that outlining camp, or whether you're more of a discovery writer like Mike, and I know Rob, you are probably more in that discovery writer camp as well. And I'm an outliner as well, but all of us seem to come back to this same theme of like not really discovering what characters are until you are like deep into the book. And occasionally there are some characters where it just sort of clicks me straight away. And those are always like very fun to write, because it just feels like they've always been there. But I think, coming back to, I can't remember who said this earlier, but coming back to, I think it was Mike, you were talking about the Manifest Delusions characters and how what makes them so fascinating to write is the fact that they are extremely different and surprising from average people. And for me, like, that's sort of how I think about characters as well, is thinking about what are the contradictions that lie at the heart of their personalities that lead to internal conflict within them and result in them making like interesting decisions that are unexpected but totally appropriate for who they are as people. Do you think about, this is a sort of open question to all of you, do you think about ways that you can distinguish your characters from other characters that are in fiction? And if so, how do you kind of go about that process? Dirk, you were nodding. Do you want to kick us off?
Oh, sure. I have so many characters. It was a lot easier, though, than I thought. To be honest, it's like I use basically underneath their tropes. There's like the paladin type, there's the jokester, there's the trickster, there's the sly who's a good guy, but there's the sly scheming bastard who's a good guy, a bad guy, or a good guy. You don't really ever know. A lot of them are very tropey, so I don't worry too much about making them different from other characters in fantasy or fiction. The important part is to make them very distinct from other characters within the story. And that then again, that goes to how they speak, what kind of words they use, what kind of accent they might have. And I have characters from all over the world and all throughout history. Kind of what their character traits are. And one thing that thrills me to death is that people say that I do a really good, they're amazed that I have that many characters, but I do a real good job making them memorable and distinct. And I never know if I'm really doing that, though I try to, but I found that it was actually really easy, because once I came up with the characters, or they just kind of inserted themselves, I need this character, they actually kind of bloomed full formed later on. Not the main characters, there's like a core three or five characters. They were the hard ones. Those were the ones I really didn't know, but the other supporting characters kind of just bloomed real. Though a lot of those weren't introduced until the second book, so maybe I had gotten better at it, because Paternus was my first book. The important thing is just to make them, I think, to make them distinct and memorable. You can't have two characters that their names are too similar, and I have some of those issues because they come from mythology. And that helps a lot, but the way they speak and what they're like, you don't want to have characters that are too very similar, where they talk exactly the same and they do exactly the same things. Do you really need those? And I've found that even in rewrites, have you guys done this, Mike and Rob, have you found that you needed to delete a character but combine some of their characteristics into another one? I've done that.
I've deleted characters and then had to rewrite their scenes. Or sorry, I've deleted a character as a point of view character. They're still a character in the book, but now their part of the story is no longer told from their POV. And then rewritten all their scenes from somebody else's point of view, which actually works. It works beautifully, because all of a sudden it seems like this is a real character who really did all this stuff in the background. It's like, yeah, because I wrote all that fucking shit. But I haven't actually had to completely cut a character.
Yeah,
I think the only time I've completely cut a character from story was when I just cut the story. It's when I rewrote the entire book. So I was just like, rewrite this entire thing, and there's like these three or four characters who just aren't in anymore. Goodbye.
Which book was that?
That was The Lessons Never Learned, the one that I scrapped basically, because it was crap. So I rewrote the entire thing I think. Going back to the idea of having to differentiate characters between other characters in the book and make sure they feel different, there is a sort of a little trick you can use, which is giving characters like ticks. It might be that one of them has a specific phrase that, or word that they say repeatedly. Like, you know, they might like to start their dialogue with like, oh, you know, just like, oh, well, whatever. Or they might, you know, it might be a specific character sort of like that's constantly, I don't know, tugging on their ear just unconsciously. And I think it's not a catch-all, but something like that can certainly help you differentiate between the different characters and make them seem different to the other characters. However, you have to make sure that that character is the only one doing it. Because if all the characters start pulling on their ears, it starts to take on a different meaning.
So we're almost on time for this episode. Mike, do you have any other things to add in on this note of making unique characters?
Right. Okay. I don't know about unique characters. I never really actually put any thought into that, like, whatsoever. Okay. It just never occurred to me to try that. But the way I approach writing characters is, as I'm writing each point of view, I just lose myself in the character. I role play basically the scenes from their point of view, given what's happening, how they'd react. So I'm not an outside observer. I'm a massively fragmented personality who thinks he's everybody. And so that's it. If you are in the story pretending to be that character, it's different than if you're outside the story and trying to make that character do what you need to make the story work the way you think the story is going to work. Now, the problem is, and I do this all the fucking time, is the fuckers write me into a corner because I'm just playing out them doing what they would do. And then it gets me into the situation where I'm like, oh, you fucking son of a bitch. Like, I'm trapped. Like, they get me into places where I'm like, how the fuck are you going to get out of that? And I'm left with the choice of killing them off or like stepping away from the book for a week and wandering around the house going like, how do they get out of this? And either they figure out a way out or they get killed. So I kill a lot of characters because it's their own fucking fault.
I'm a little disturbed by, my imagination is too good. I'm a little disturbed by the idea of thinking about you acting out and role-playing your characters from Beyond Redemption.
That's a mess. It's a great way to, all those, you know, instead of therapy, just write a book about crazy people.
And on that perfectly sane note, I reckon this is a good place to wrap up our first episode. Thank you everyone for listening or watching, and we'll see you again soon.
Hey. Woo!
Thank you for listening to Wizards, Warriors, and Words. We hope you learned something useful. We love hearing from our listeners. Our email is wizardswarriorswords@gmail.com, which you can also find in the show notes. I personally read and respond to every email, so feel free to let us know what you thought about this episode. We'd also love to hear your questions. Send in a question via that email, wizardswarriorswords@gmail.com, and we might even answer it on the show. If you haven't already, please subscribe and write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps more people discover the show. Wizards, Warriors, and Words is jointly hosted by Dirk Ashton, Michael R. Fletcher, Rob J. Hayes, and Jed Hearn. Our music comes from Michael R. Fletcher, and our artwork is by Felix Ortiz. Thank you again for listening. Now go and write extraordinary stories. We'll see you next time.